This show is very not safe for work. The works being read do not represent the views of the hosts or guests. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously.
Gobbles the turkey said nothing. After a few seconds, it tilted forward, slumping face first onto a GameCube controller. "Darn it, Gobbles," Xavier exclaimed. "I told you not to play games during the podcast."
It's Friday Night Fan Fiction, Season 11, Super Hilarious, Mega Funny, Intro Bumper, or whatever.
Baby, baby, this is the new shit, not that old Behringer shit.
Ah! I don't have my mic cover on.
Hello?
We can hear you.
Okay, I didn't hear anybody.
Mic test.
All right, we're live.
Oh, really?
Jeez.
Yeah, hello. We're live.
Just like that.
Do you got a problem with that, Sean?
Just like that.
I kind of have a problem with.
I mean, you got to warm up a little bit.
I usually prefer getting a handy before you plunge me in, but.
Yeah.
Steve-O likes going in cold.
This is Friday Night Fan Fiction. I'm your host, Steve-O. Joining me tonight are Logan, Valerie, and Sean. David is not here, but will be here because apparently I'm supposed to overlay these two episodes one on top of the other for Logan's entertainment.
Yes.
How big is your ASMR playlist?
Oh, hang on, let me double check. It is currently 2,880 videos long, and I delete videos from it as soon as I've watched them.
Could you say about on average how long a video is in that playlist?
Generally at least half hour.
So how much material have you squandered your life away on?
When you think about it in that I don't sleep and instead I listen to ASMR for 5 hours a day, and that is how I become rested, I don't believe I've squandered any time.
Val, how much ASMR have you ever listened to?
Does Bob Ross count? Because I listen to a lot of Bob Ross.
No, Bob Ross does not count.
And then no ASMR.
Sean, how much ASMR have you listened to?
The only ASMR I've ever listened to is whatever we do on this show.
Oh, I thought you were going to say $1. It's been a long couple of days.
Yeah.
Xavier's had a sleep regression and been teething, and Logan's computer, which, by the way, has it crashed yet?
Not yet.
And now that you're running a not crap, not old interface, hopefully it will no longer crash.
Well, I mean, the only person we can blame for this is you, considering you're the one that gave me that interface to replace the other interface that I gave you.
Shut up. Good. Well, I hope this first story upsets you. It's called I Want to Be the Guy Who Loves a Fruit by Kenny Sheep.
Is this an I Want to Be the Guy fic?
Yes.
Sean, you'll be the first one reading, and I'm going to be editing, so I probably won't say much.
What are you editing?
Just give it time.
No.
I Want to Be the Guy Who Loves Fruit. Story, I Want to Be the Guy Who Loves Fruit. Story link, https://games.adult-fanfiction.org/story.php?
What?
In the what?
I heard something, too.
I did, too. It was Val whispering something.
Whisper. All right. I guess she's just a ghost now. Keep going.
Ooh. Le boo. Disclaimer. I only wrote this because I was really bored right now. And if I leave this room, the door will lock behind me and I will never get in again. Anywho, I don't own I Want to Be the Guy. And if I did, I would sack myself repeatedly. Read, enjoy, review. Or not, this is hardly deserves it anyway.
Well, at least they're honest and down to earth with their expectations.
Yeah. Fun fact, in the time it takes to read this, you could have started playing I Want to Be the Guy, died 10 times, and given up already. It is the year 20XDX, on his 15th birthday. A young boy left home on a dangerous and epic quest to become
the guy!
Which guy? I need clarification here.
The guy.
As in capital.
The guy!
Yeah.
So not just a guy.
No.
What kind of guy?
The guy!
Yep.
I no longer feel bad for the people that live near him.
Yeah. Fuck them.
Ha!
At least that was his plan.
To fuck him.
Yes. Armed with nothing more than a very small gun.
Okay, that took a turn. I want to take back the joke now.
And his bright red cape of heroes. The boy had hoped to cut a swath of destruction through the dungeon of doom. Defeat
the guard!
And become the new
the guard!
But before he had gone more than 2 feet, he met something that drove all thoughts of becoming
the guard
out of his head. Snuvo could probably just take the one sample and keep putting it in there, but no, I'm just going to keep yelling it.
You're an entertainer, true to your core. We have turned you into a consummate professional, and you can't get through this without doing it right.
And my throat hurts. For sitting in a small and poorly drawn tree at the dungeon's entrance was a thing of pure beauty. Something so captivating, the boy knew he would never be happy until he made it his own. It was a bright red, delicious fruit. The boy tried to approach the delicious fruit, tried to tell it how he felt, but fear overtook him. What if the fruit rejected him? Could he possibly live his life if the fruit didn't feel the same way about him as he did about it? So instead, he hung back. He tried to content himself with just the thought of making the fruit his own. How would it feel to finally stroke its wonderful 8-bit surface? To rub his body against its amazingly large girth in ecstasy? To let the fruit finally deflower him with its long black stem until it released its load of fruit juice deep inside of him?
I don't think that's how it works.
I'm kind of getting vibes back to the Giving Tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Giving Tree, the gift of love.
Yeah.
How many trees have we cut down from our backyard since then?
5.
All 6 trees are going to come back and, quote, love me.
Mm.
Yes.
All that good wood.
What's so funny, Logan?
I cannot imagine how nervous Gordon Ramsay's wife must get before he eats her pussy.
Oh, great. So since Dave is not here, you have to David it up by being distracted. Understood.
Yeah.
Reminds me I should turn off my volume on my phone. Oh, alas, he thought, it could never be so. There was no way a dignified, delicious fruit like that could ever fall for a boy like him.
Huh.
He wasn't even
the guard
yet. He wouldn't impress the fruit at all. But he was wrong. The delicious fruit had noticed the boy, and it was love at first sight. Why is it underlined?
Because it's written as a website.
Yeah. The fruit always meant to run up to the boy, hold him close and kiss him on that gaping black thing that was meant to be his mouth.
Don't call it that.
It's because it's a square. It's a black square.
Let me get up in that gaping black thing, baby.
Oh, yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
I've seen porn like that.
Plenty.
But it was just a fruit and lacked propulsion. So instead it was forced to sit in its tree and dream. This went on for what seemed like an eternity to the boy and the fruit. But one day, the boy could stand it no longer. He stopped hanging back to simply look at the fruit and strode up to it. The fruit then broke itself off the tree by sheer force of will and dropped to the ground. Finally, the boy and the delicious fruit were together. The boy and the fruit embraced like lovers, meeting after a month apart. Or at least they tried to. As soon as they touched, the boy's stomach exploded with the force
Whoa!
Of a bomb. That went from 0 to 60 real quick.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is how
you ever played the game.
It's like you touch the apple and you fucking detonate.
Are we sure that's his stomach that explodes?
It's all of him.
Well, it's from the stomach, but everything explodes, yeah.
It's all the Ghiblis in there.
Ghibli, 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 Ghibli.
The fruit was showered in blood, and bits of what was once the boy flew in every direction. The top of the boy's head was launched up and landed on an extra pointy branch of the tree, to forever serve as a warning to those who entered the dungeon of doom.
Game over!
Yeah!
Press R to try again.
Okay, give me like 30 seconds, so pretend that you guys like each other, because I'm almost done.
Oh.
I gotta pretend?
Oh, that's actually like halfway sweet. Unless you're just saying the effort is too much.
Yes.
All right, we're good. Here's how this next story is going to go. And I saved myself because I don't have to overlay it. The second chapter is basically the first chapter. So we get the first chapter this week, second chapter next week. Star Trek DS9 fanfiction. And I've divided it up so that the characters in it, Garrick and Julian, will be divided between Logan and myself. And Val, you will be the narrator.
Oh. It says what the title is at the top.
It shouldn't say what the title is at the top.
It says Steamed Hams, but it's...
Well, forget you saw that, okay?
Okay, I mean, I will.
Forget that you saw it.
Forget what you saw. I'll delete that so David won't see it. Just do it better for next time. Now it works.
Now it works.
Now it's right.
Okay, lovely. Sure. Fantastic. Val, go ahead.
Sorry, I had to get it out. By author Stella Rivers. Dr. Julian Bashir edged along the corridor of the habitat ring, perplexed at the typically vague directions he had been given by his Cardassian friend, Garrick. Eventually, he arrived at the tailor's quarters and rang his doorbell. Garrick stepped out and grinned at the doctor. The doctor? Yeah.
Doctor.
The doctor.
Well, Garrick, I made it, despite your directions.
Garrick's grin widened.
Ah, my dear doctor, welcome.
He replied cheerfully.
I hope you're prepared for an unforgettable luncheon.
Yes.
Julian replied cautiously, stepping into his friend's quarters. Julian took a seat while Garrick went to the kitchen. Horrified, the Cardassian saw thick black smoke rising from the replicator. His replicator, instantly wiping the grin from his scaly gray face.
Oh, ye gods, my roast is ruined.
I could totally see Garrick saying, ye gods.
He exclaimed, fearing he had ruined his one chance to impress the lovely human doctor.
But what if?
He looked at the schematic of DS9 on his wall in order to locate the nearest restaurant.
I were to purchase fast food and disguise it as my own cooking. Oh, delightfully devilish Elim.
The grin returned Garrick's face.
This is so in character, too!
It's perfect.
Just as he was climbing out of the window in the back of his quarters, okay, Julian entered the kitchen.
I like how the grin returned Garrick's face back to Garrick.
Garrick with his crazy explanations.
Dr. Bashir's gonna need his
medication. When he hears Garrick's lame exaggeration, he'll be trouble on Deep Space Nine. Garrick!
Julian never yells, does he?
Not really.
Like, unless somebody's getting shot and he's physically being held back from helping them.
Even then, he doesn't shout. It's like, it's more of like a force.
Sort of like an I stubbed my toe kind of thing.
Yes.
Yelled the doctor.
Dr. Bashir, I was just, stretching my calves on the windowsill. Isometric exercise. Care to join me?
So is the implication that he was about to jump out of, like...
out of Deep Space Nine?
I don't know.
Because he was at the window, so...
I'm coming back to you, Cardassia, my lovely home!
Garrick raised a suggestive eye ridge. Julian admired Garrick's muscular legs for a split second before noticing his replicator.
Why is there smoke coming out of your replicator, Garrick?
Julian narrowed his eyes suspiciously.
That isn't smoke!
Clever Cardassian countered.
It's steam. Steam from the,
He racked his brain for an earth dish with the word steam in it.
Steamed clams we're having. Steamed clams. He sounds so skeezy doing this. Only slightly more skeezy than he normally sounds when he's plotting something.
The doctor narrowed his eyes even more, but decided it wasn't worth pursuing the matter, turned tail, and left the kitchen. Garrick breathed a sigh of relief and climbed out of the window. One trip to Quark's bar later, he returned to his quarters carrying an inert dish he had been told was called hamburgers.
Oh, I'm sure Quark just sold him some leftover warp core plasma formed into the shape of a fucking hamburger.
He climbed back through the window and through the kitchen.
My dear doctor, I hope you're prepared for mouth-watering hamburgers,
he announced cheerily.
I thought we were having steamed clams.
Jillian retaliated.
Garrick
was reminded of his earlier lie.
Oh no, I said steamed hams. That's what I call hamburgers.
You call hamburgers steamed hams?
The suspicious squint returned to the doctor's face.
Yes.
The tailor took a seat.
It's a regional dialect.
Ah, well, what region?
Cardassia Prime.
Really? Well, I've spent a lot of time in the northern Cardassia province, and I've never heard anyone use the phrase steamed hams.
Jillian continued to probe his cunning friend, somewhat enjoying watching the alien squirm.
Not in the northern Cardassia province, no. It's a southern Cardassia province expression.
I see.
The doctor smiled smugly as he bit into his steamed ham and changed his tactic.
You know, these burgers are quite similar to the ones they have at Quark's Bar.
Oh, no.
Garrick waved a dismissive hand.
Patented Garrick burgers, old family recipe.
For steamed hams.
Yes.
Yes, and you call them steamed hams, despite the fact that they are obviously grilled.
Garrick scrambled.
You know, one thing I should...
He suddenly remembered a smoky replicator.
Excuse me a minute.
Of course.
Jillian grinned, feeling he had cut Garrick out. Garrick went into the kitchen, found his replicator burning, and decided it was time to cut his losses about getting laid and hurry the doctor out of his quarters. He walked out of the kitchen and gave an exaggerated yawn.
I yawn! Well, that was wonderful. A good time was had by all. I'm pooped.
He hurried, ushering Jillian out of his seat.
Yes, I suppose I should be.
Kitchen door briefly swung open.
Good lord, what is happening in there?
Once again, Garrick scrambled.
Scrambled?
Scrambled. The words scrambled in my mouth.
The wormhole opening?
The wormhole opening?
Cried Jillian incredulously.
I read ahead.
On this star date, on this rotation of the planet, in this part of the station, localized entirely within your kitchen?
Yes.
May I see it?
No.
Well, Garrick, you're an odd fellow, but I must say, you steam a good ham.
Jillian was still smirking at Garrick. As the doctor began to walk away, the tailor got a quick look at his rear and gave him a thumbs up. Suddenly, Odo came rushing along the corridor.
Sean, this is you.
Garrick!
He exclaimed.
Your quarters are on fire!
No, Odo, it's just the wormhole.
He replied breezily, away Dr. Bashir was still within earshot. Aware.
Humph!
Humph!
Humph! Humph!
Humph! Humph! Humph! Humph!
Said Odo, muttering something about sending a fire response team to the Cardassians' quarters.
And chapter 2 is literally just that, except Garrick and Jillian are reversed. That fits incredibly well.
In that format, yes. It would not make sense the other way around.
Yeah, no.
Oh, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see next week, right?
Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho.
Fully devilish.
All right, now we have 69 Hues of Meta, Friday Night Fanfiction Undoes a Kerfluffle.
Oh, yes.
Oh, this one.
This is good.
Apparently, this is a new one.
Yep.
Have you read this, Link. Sean?
Link.
Maybe.
Link. I'm linking, hold on.
It's in the patrons chat.
Well, now it's in the staff chat, too. Heard to her to her. I'm sorry. Humph.
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 Humph. Humph. Humph. Humph. Humph.
I've never known Odo to actually say humph. He's just kind of like...
No, he definitely makes the grunts that would be represented by humph, though.
But not actually humph.
Not actually humph, no.
Similar.
We're getting too meticulous in the details. All right, Logan, go ahead.
What, I gotta read again?
Yeah. You and I both get to read, and then Val gets to read, because, you know, the dialogue, it's not that much.
Okay. 69 Hues of Meta. Friday Night Fanfiction Undoes a Kerfuffle. Summary. In a shitty, miserable, dystopian world where we can't seem to have fucking anything nice without it eventually turning sour like milk in the Arizona sun.
Ooh.
The hosts of one underrated podcast must retcon a diddlefic featuring them and a newly controversial YouTuber using the power of violence.
No, not violence. Not after what happened to the...
Sorry, the guy!
Highlander 2 is the peak of cinema.
Shut the hell up!
About the author.
Get off my space station via the window with the windowsill.
Humph.
Buster Manwum received a cease and desist from Ubisoft for slandering their CEO, which they are extremely proud of and find fucking hilarious, since it confirms the only thing Yves Guillemot have in common is that they protect rapists and abusers in leadership positions in their country, in
God
their company.
Damn it!
And enjoy preying on people with gambling addiction issues.
Yep.
Watch Buster Manwum get their kicks by picking fights with corporations and religious organizations with money.
More money.
More money.
With more money than they could even conceptualize on Twitter at Buster Manwum. Chapter 1. Following a 45-minute preamble about Jackie Chan adventures and the glorious return of potato bites to the Taco Bell menu.
Wait a minute, they're back? I need to see this.
I think they might be.
All right,
Steve-O said, interrupting an argument between David and Sean about how many skeleton warriors Jackie Chan would have to dance fighting against.
Yes, they're coming back!
Welcome to Friday Night Fan Fiction. I'm your host, Steve-O.
No, you're not!
And with me tonight are David, Sean...
Hi.
And Logan.
I'm so confused!
Val is on baby duty, again.
Again.
Well, she technically is because I don't have a monitor, but she's not the only one!
David's on baby duty.
David's not here!
Hi.
In this state!
Well, today we'll be reading The Brave Little Toaster Goes to Hell in Leisure Suit Larry 4, Larry Goes to Sesame Street. But first, Steve-O declared, friends... mothers, secret lovers, you may have noticed that we aren't recording this episode on a Wednesday.
Wait, what?
Logan exclaimed. What day is it then? Do you actually not know? Steve asked.
No, I don't.
My entire internal clock has relied on this podcast since 2016, David added.
Except for, you know, the weeks that we miss, and then I just feel like it's a really, really long week.
Oh, and we're recording the podcast today. It must be Wednesday. You're throwing this out of whack. It's a Tuesday, Steve-O said.
The holy spheres! The planets cannot move properly unless we record every fucking Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yep.
It just throws everything else out of whack.
Yeah.
It's just like a poor tire alignment.
That's why COVID happened.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought COVID happened because people couldn't be bothered to wear masks.
No, I mean like the original.
Oh, you mean like original hipster old school COVID?
Yeah.
COVID 1?
Yeah.
Back in March 2020.
Okay, never mind. It was a bad joke. Go ahead.
I got the joke.
Thank you.
Anyway, I called you all here to invoke the Council of Three. Hey, you can't invoke the Council of Three.
No, you can't.
You're reading me by proxy. I didn't do this.
Is that a thing anymore? Who said that? Shut the fuck up.
That might be David.
It needs to be, Steve-O declared. We have become involved in a kerfuffle.
Oh, this is what happens when we finally make it big. We start getting in kerfluffles and...
How do you know it's a kerfuffle and not a haberdashery? Sean asked.
The place where you get hats?
Or a brouhaha, Logan added.
A brouhaha?
Because the podcast's unsullied reputation is at stake.
What do you mean unsullied? Where do you get this research from?
What do you mean reputation?
What do you mean steak?
Oh, I want steak.
Oh, no.
We have accidentally gotten embroiled in the Game Grumps controversy.
I heard you say we have gotten boiled in the Game Grumps controversy.
Yeah, we dipped our one ball into the tepid waters that was the Game Grumps.
Exactly. The internet just simmered at a nice 255 degrees Celsius.
Wait, how? David asked. Did Dan Avidian allegedly groom one of us?
Avidon.
No, it's Avidian.
No, Avidon.
I don't care how you say
Dan Vidian.
Did Dan allegedly groom one of us for sex in our early 20s? No, Steve-O said. At least I don't think so. No, this is about the fic that Buster Manwum wrote for us.
You mean the fic we're reading?
You mean that Willow sequel commemorating Xavier being born? Logan asked. No, Steve-O said. The one with Columbo and Homestar Runner, they wrote literal days after we asked for more fix from them, David asked. David would not know those things.
No, he really wouldn't. David is the one among us that can humph.
Yeah.
Humph. Humph.
David the humpher.
Also no, Steve-O said. The one that actually had us in it. Oh, yeah, David said. The one of us reading us, reading us, reading us, reading.
Okay, next up is me. Reading Game Grumps, yes, Steve-O said. We can't risk association like this. This threatens the integrity of the whole podcast.
We have integrity?
Also, we have a podcast? I'm really confused.
Is today Tuesday? Wait, what? What are we doing?
I kind of just thought I was jerking off.
I mean, also, yes.
All over that brand new audio interface that I gave you, right?
Yeah, I mean, gotta clog it up.
No, it's not like you get a warmer sound by jamming semen in the socket.
I get a fuller sound.
Would jamming semen in the socket be like rubbing Vaseline on the camera lens?
No, it's far worse, because rubbing Vaseline on a camera lens, you still can see something. If you jizz in an audio interface, it will fry.
Ew.
I mean, I'm willing to challenge that.
Are you going to pay for the replacement?
Yeah, who wants some fried jizz?
Ooh, deep fried jizz.
Is that now on the Taco Bell menu again? Is fried jizz making a comeback? The fried jizz and beef burrito?
Yeah.
Jizzy beef.
The jizzy beef burrito. Well, that's better than mine, thanks, Val.
You're welcome.
Didn't that fic only have like 30 views, Sean said?
What happens when you deep fry semen? Too afraid to ask.
Sean said, using latent psychic powers to tap into knowledge exclusive to Buster Manwomb. I'm pretty sure we have nothing to worry about. No, we have to fix it. Steve-O said, I have a plan. Ask Buster Manwomb nicely to change or remove the fic, Sean suggested. I was thinking violence, Steve-O suggested. And there is my do not take this quote out of context for a job interview or a background check moment for me.
I choose violence.
Violence or violins?
Da-da-da-da-da.
Da-da-da-da.
And then suddenly one of the violinists hits the other one with the violin. That's violence.
Yes.
I've made too many dad jokes today. I'm just dying now. Why violence? David asked. David would never ask that.
Why the fuck is the person above me in this apartment making so goddamn much noise? I'm going to just start jizzing into their lock so they can't get out of their apartment.
Deep fried jizz.
Now that's a better idea of jizz usage. You should jizz in their lock and then deep fry the doorknob.
Oh, don't you worry. I got plenty of jizz. I got ropes and ropes.
I believe you.
Okay, I no longer question the violence. One, I already had Guns Express shipped to all of you, Steve-O said. Two, I'm bored.
This is way better than the Butcher Box.
I haven't been bored for months and I miss it.
You know, that sounds like David and you, Steve-O, are being flipped in this.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. David would be the one to express ship a Glock to me. Covered in hot sauce. A spicy pistol, if you will. Fair enough, David said, as everyone else agreed. Let's go violence. God damn it, Buster Bamboo chapter 2. Yes, it is. Why is the title the second chapter? Yes, it is.
It follows chapter 1.
It answers your answer to the...
chapter 1, Highlander 2 is the peak of cinema.
No, it isn't!
Chapter 2, yes it is.
It is! Shut up!
Oh, there's no chapter 3.
About the author, Buster Manwomb had been absolutely yonked on tropical-flavored rockets and vodka for the last few weeks, and in this singular instance would like to apologize if they didn't get the mannerisms of all peoples mentioned in this fic down pat. Well, now you know. Chapter 2, The Reckoning. By sheer force of will and a convenient disregard for the limitations of space-time and travel restrictions amidst a pandemic, the gang got their guns from the mail and met up in Winnipeg, Canada.
Why? There's nothing in Winnipeg. Being from Manitoba.
Exactly.
I brought a dildo. I'm going to be a winner and I'm going to peg.
You don't get pegged, you fucking liar.
Oh, no, I'm going to be the one doing the pegging.
Steve-O, stop lying to these people. You never peg yourself.
I'm going to create a Rube Goldberg machine that's only sole purpose is to peg myself.
And you'll never use it because your doctor says your butthole's too fucked up.
Goddamn right. Where do we go now?
Hang on, David said from the conspicuous van. Half a blacked out. Wait a minute.
Wait, what? Hold hang on a second. What?
What?
Run that one by me again.
Mm-hmm. Hang on, David said from the conspicuous van, half a black down.
No.
I know what you meant. I'm gathering intel. What sort of intel could you find for an operation like this? Steve-O asked. Cut to the inside of the van. We can see David sitting on a box of canned meats, browsing fanficchio.net on his phone. I have every one of their fix open in tabs right now. My intel says Buster Manwoom is in a dumpster somewhere.
David would not put enough effort in a mission like this.
Cool, we've narrowed it down to all of Winnipeg. Sean, yay or nay?
No, it's true.
Val, Steve-O said, where are you? Look up. They all looked up. Val was on the roof above them, holding a big-ass sniper rifle in one hand and waving with the other. You can't not have recon in an operation like this. That is a big violation of baby duty, Sean commented. Where's Xavier? Steve-O asked. I showed him how to make podcasts, Val said. He's fine. What's the triple dot in fucking Morse code again?
I think it's O.
No, it's S. O is three long.
So.
Okay, yeah.
Hi there, and welcome to Saturday Morning Fan Fiction. I'm your host, Professor X, Baby Xavier said, sitting in front of a toy laptop. Wrong! He has a real laptop. It's a Dell Latitude, and it's broken.
Why did you give your baby a laptop?
Because he likes pressing the keys.
He likes existing.
That's not true. A teething baby who's frustrated at being able to stand but not be able to walk is not happy unless they're very, very distracted. I've been here. I've been here for weeks.
Just fucking rub some lidocaine on his gums and shut up.
You know how many people have told me not to do this? I'm not following David's advice and making him a Long Island.
Yeah, I'm not saying use fucking whiskey like everybody else says.
And all historical doctors would tell you to.
Yeah.
They also prescribe cocaine for that.
There we go, Xavier. Because of your teething pain, I'm going to give you cocaine. And because you're frustrated, I'm going to give you brandy.
Sounds like an excellent night out.
Just sounds like a good way to throw up.
Various Beanie Babies were sat in a circle around him. We're doing two Paw Patrol fix today. He does have some Paw Patrol stories, the flip books. Starting with Rocky and Rubble Go to White Castle by Lorem Ipsum. Gobbles Europe first.
At what point are you going to start reading fix to your son?
Oh, we've already been playing episodes for him.
Oh, good.
I'm so glad. I can't wait for his first real word to be ropes.
I regret making you his eldritch guardian.
No, you don't.
No, I don't.
So, Logan, you got CPS and speed dial, right?
Yeah, you know it, buddy.
Okay, good.
For future reference, Buster Manwoom, some of the toys that he has are Blue G, his blue giraffe.
Did he name it Blue G? Or did you name it Blue G?
No, we named it Blue G. He names everything da 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 ma 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 ta ta ta.
Creavers.
He hasn't said it yet, but I'm...
His first word will be creepers.
I dread the fucking day. Val, you're up.
You just gotta get me in that room with that kid.
Oh, and he also has a dump truck as a toy, too. That's very important.
Yes. Yeah,
he's got the dump truck.
And it sings, I'm a powerful dump truck.
No, you're not!
I rumble down the road.
No, you don't!
Carrying my love from here to there.
You don't have a load except for the one you put in your damn diaper.
I'm sorry, what?
Don't you talk to your wife in her diaper that way.
Shut up. Please read, Val. I need to go drink to forget.
Gobbles the turkey said nothing. After a few seconds, it tilted forward, slumping face first onto a GameCube controller. Darn it, Gobbles, Xavier exclaimed. I told you not to play games during the podcast.
Oh,
He does have baby's first game set, and it's a controller and a half pizza. I'm fine with that, Steve-O said. David, any leads? Yes, David said. Listen to me very closely. No. Open your bag and take out the only thing that isn't a gun. Steve-O opened his bag. Inside were a Nerf and Strike EBF-25 dart blaster and a can of Spam. Steve-O took the can. Okay, open, Steve-O said. All right, now repeat after me. I need a fan fiction, Steve-O yelled. I am not yelling right now. Earning some odd stares from the understandably miserable Winnipeggers.
Yeah, Winnipeggers!
Yeah.
Walking past, and I have deli meats! At first there was silence. And then from the alley behind the Wendy's across the street, you could hear a froggy gluttural. There! Steve-O said, running into the alleyway as the others took point.
Oh!
A pair of froggy eyes emerged from the darkness of the Wendy's grease trap, fixating on Steve-O and the others.
What in the salty, dry roasted fuck are you all doing here?
Buster Mahmood asked. Suddenly, everyone pulled out their Nerf guns and pointed at the dumpster. I'm sorry, Steve-O. I will do it again if I need to. Buster Mahmood recoiled.
Nerf guns? No! They're so bad for the environment! I'll do anything! Don't shoot!
Were you talking to me or fanfic me?
Yes.
Because I said from the kitchen, God damn it, Val, don't do that.
I know.
I brought you wine.
Oh. Why the fuck didn't you tell me you weren't using real guns? Val interrupted, suddenly feeling very overprepared for this. Yeah. How the fuck did you get a sniper rifle past the border? Logan asked. I don't know, Val said.
Nature's pocket.
Uh-huh.
It's not hard.
Yeah, it's...
It lets you carry anything.
As long as you're not Steve-O.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter, Steve-O said, returning his attention to Buster Mahmood. We need you to change the fic with us and the gang grumps in. Never mind, David said in everyone's earpiece. Wait, what? It doesn't matter anymore. Someone on Twitter found shrimp tails in their Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Twitter forgot about the whole Game Grumps thing.
My God, that did happen. It feels like it was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I know. Really?
I didn't actually hear anything about Shrimp-a-Min Toast Crunch.
You haven't?
I, like, heard whispers that that was a thing, but I didn't know what it was about.
So you just saw the memes?
I don't think it actually happened. It was just memes.
He says it was a hoax. Okay.
Really? Steve-O said, putting down the gun. Jesus, Twitter moves fast. You've already forgotten about the shrimp cereal guy, Sean said, checking Twitter. Turns out
yes,
it was a Me Too milkshake duck.
Milkshake duck?
Yeah, milkshake duck.
Yeah.
It's where everyone is like, oh, yeah, I love milkshake duck. And then 5 seconds later, turns out milkshake duck is racist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't right.
Buster Mahmood said, clicking and clacking away at their Tandy color computer.
Alrighty, I'm changing it. You guys read about the angry video game nerd now. That should be fine. There isn't a controversial section on Wikipedia at the moment. Can I have the can of spam?
Steve-O thankfully gave Buster Mahmood the spam, which he proceeded to do terrible things with while the Friday night fanfiction. My goodness, I'm having trouble seeing.
Oh no, the wine just went straight to your liver.
No, I tried to drink with my eyes. And had a collective existential crisis when they realized Saturday morning fanfiction was pulling 7-digit view counts on SoundCloud.
The end.
Chapter 3, Heated Dick Steve-O.
Excuse me, honey?
Who added that?
Excuse me?
I did.
You did?
I did. There, it's gone.
Okay. Chapter 3, Eat a Dick Sean. Okay, the end. Without the derailing, we are now ahead of schedule, which means we have to read another story. So, keeping on the Simpsons kick, we're going to read Good Boy by See Your Colors Run. Can we just do it where it's Good Boy is like you're talking to Chalmers?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Monty decides to take his favorite hound for a stroll around the mall. Chapter 1. Good boy.
He's a good boy.
He's a good boy. The only people there Wednesday mornings
were the people who were afraid to be there Wednesday night when FNF is on.
Yeah. Stay-at-home moms looking to get a good deal at Sears, and the old coots from the retirement home mall walking. The looks on their faces were priceless. Monty Burns, the most powerful man in town, gripping a lavish 24K gold chain that trailed behind him to clip onto assistant's collar. His little black collar was dotted with small gold studs, and a little tag that said Monty's jingled around his neck.
He's such a good boy.
He wore only a leather harness for his top, but Monty was tasteful enough to at least let him wear his jean shorts.
Oh no, not jorts! God damn it! I don't want to think about an S&M bottom jort Smithers. It's
too bad.
Damn it.
Just been jorts.
Combat boots clunked around the polished tile.
Okay, him in combat boots is fucking hilarious.
As he followed Monty dutifully.
Did you say as he or assy?
Yes.
Yes. As.
Assy.
S-S-S.
Monty himself was sharply dressed as ever, choosing his green suit and pink tie combo. Whispered insults and awe at such a public display were traded amongst the gossipy packs he passed by, none saying anything too loud for fear of what Burns would do. Waylon kept his eyes straight ahead and tried not to think about it too hard, but then a spot of trouble hit. Chief Wiggum, in all his goofing off glory, was busy at the Cinnabon stand around the corner, ensuring none of the cinnamon rolls were poisoned. They picked up the pace, hoping that the chief stuffing his face would keep him distracted enough to get away without a fuss. If they could just make it past the stall, they barely rounded the corner before Waylon heard a muffled, "Hey,
hey."
They pretended not to hear and kept going until another clear, "Hey," stopped them.
"Hey, hey."
Monty groaned. Waylon knew he was hoping to get away with his little public display without having to pay a bribe. Still, they came prepared. He turned to Waylon and pointed his index finger to the ground. "Sit."
That's not bad.
Nah.
"I'm going to get you a pot of gold."
"I'm going to get you, Chalmers." Oh no, it doesn't work because Chalmers is a Simpsons name and now it's really awkward.
Yeah, of course it's a fucking Simpsons name.
God damn it. No, it didn't dawn on me until now that I can't reference him in any of the Simpsons fanfics.
GG.
He's a good boy.
Yep.
He got down on his knees and sat patiently. Smithers wasn't allowed to talk unless told to, but he figured an exception could be made for the cop if need be. "So, Mr. Burns, what are you doing?" Wiggum asked, half-chewed pastry flying from his mouth. Monty winced from the display.
"Taking my pet for a walk. A good owner must give his pup some exercise, after all."
The chief stared blankly, not fully registering what Burns was talking about.
"Well, I don't know what game you're playing, but that to me looks like, charge of public indecency."
He grinned as the idea finally formed in that sluggish mass he called the brain.
"Maybe I can forget about it if I get a..."
"Fine, fine. How much do you want?"
"6 hand jobs with extra queso sauce."
"All at once, or..."
"Make it a quantum hand job. 6 hand jobs happening, but not all in this universe."
"Ah.
Interdimensional. Gotcha."
Monty snapped, grabbing his wallet from his breast pocket.
"I have things to do today, you know."
Wiggum sniggered.
"Ah, I don't know. Maybe $500 would help me look past this."
You just kind of sound drunk now.
"I don't know.
I'm drinking on the job, but..."
Burns snatched out 500s and shoved it in the pig's sticky hand.
"We'll be on our way then."
He lowered his voice and leaned in close to Wiggum.
"Make sure no one else bugs us, or that's out of your monthly donation."
"Oh no, how am I supposed to survive with only 4 hand jobs?"
The officer nodded and went back to eating his cinnamon roll. Waylon felt a yank on his leash before Monty barked, "Up!"
"Logan, you're up."
"Oh, okay."
"I shouldn't be yelling at an eldritch guardian this way."
Waylon stood back up normally as instructed. Sometimes in the Manor Gardens, Waylon would be on all fours, but they agreed it would be better if he walked like a human for this public display. They were pushing it with Smithers' attire already. Suddenly, Monty rounded the corner, pulling Waylon into the more dead wing of the mall. He picked up the pace, briskly walking until they found the men's restroom in the corner. Monty took the large stall at the end and locked himself in it.
Sit. Don't put your hands on that filthy ground, though.
Your birds is a little better than John's.
Yeah.
That's not saying much.
It's almost Bashir, though, which is really weird.
Waylon sat down on his knees, excited for what surely was going to happen next.
Don't call me Shirley.
He met Burns' eyes, giving his best puppy dog stare that so often made his master melt.
Sorry for pulling you in here so quickly.
A bony hand stroked the side of his face slowly.
I just couldn't wait much longer. You've been such a good boy so far.
I'm sorry, you've been such a what?
You've been such a good boy.
Good boy.
Good boy. Good boy.
Fucking good boy.
Christ.
Val, check your Discord messages.
I don't see anything in my Discord messages.
I said Val. You're not Val.
What?
You can't prove it.
Val, check your Discord messages.
Keeping a proper distance from your master. Following my commands. Staying quiet. I trained you well, didn't I?
Smithers nodded enthusiastically. Being called a good boy was like
good boy
music to his ears. He was so careful to attend to Burns' every whim and desire. To be praised for it after all those years of service was nothing short of wonderful.
I think it's time to reward you for being such a good boy.
Good boy.
A grin spread across his thin face.
Spread your legs.
Waylon obliged, feeling his knees slide across the cold linoleum. Monty pulled the chain tight as he got close to Waylon, lightly pressing his shoe against his crotch. Great. He applied slight pressure, just enough to make Waylon let out a breath he did not know he was holding. It was like a shock of electricity. All at once, he felt his nerves on fire.
Nerves on fire!
All that control he had to keep in front of the public when he wanted nothing more than to be bent over and used like a whore melted away when Monty started grinding his heel on his cock. It was embarrassing how hard he got just from that. But it was a feat he was able to keep himself under control for so long anyways. Just going on those manor walks was enough to get him hard sometimes. And as Burns kept pressing his heel into him, it was enough to make him whine. Sitting there at his mercy, yelping a little when he went a bit too hard, his whine steadily grew louder, trying to beg as best as possible when he wasn't allowed to speak. Suddenly, Monty drew his foot away.
How cute! Squirming for me on the disgusting public restroom floor. I'd say it's pathetic if you weren't so devoted to me.
He mused.
Getting off just by my foot? Why, I don't even need to do anything, do I? If I just stepped my foot here...
He placed his shoe just above Waylon's crotch.
Crunch!
Then you'd probably get off on your own.
Oh, wait, that was the clutch, not the crotch.
No! Crap, I just burned it out!
Waylon didn't need to be told twice. He grabbed Monty's thin leg and started grinding himself against his shoe, looking up at him with glee. Monty stroked his graying hair. What hair? With his free hand, smiling from how willing Waylon was to debase himself. He whimpered as he humped Burns' shoe like a common house dog. The friction felt so good, and the way Monty stared at him, knowing what a dirty little pup he was, that he could get off just like this. And boy could he, losing himself in the pleasure, thrusting faster against Monty until a sharp tug and his leg being pulled away brought him back to reality.
Oops, there goes gravity.
Hey, Fizz, if you don't want to get banned, you better delete them shits quick.
Oh, all the feet?
Yeah.
Dude, that's completely safe for work. That's fine.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's safe for work, but not safe for Logan.
Logan, you can choose to not look.
I can also choose to delete all these messages.
No. Also, is the Ally McBeal thing, like, actually from the show? Or
I don't fucking know. I never watched that show.
Okay. Get off that floor. He snarled, tucking the leash up.
Walk the dinosaur.
Waylon stood and immediately found himself pressed against the wall, Monty locking his lips in a harsh kiss. He let the leash hang and instead gripped onto his harness, pulling him close as he tongued him furiously. Oh no! Monty's tongue is like a dried out earthworm.
Waylon reciprocated with as much force, careful to not touch Monty without his permission. Burns pulled away to kiss his neck and scrape those lovely fangs against his throat.
Oh, that's the dentures that he's wearing today.
Before getting the other side. He wanted to mark Waylon to let everyone know what they had pulled away to do. To let everyone in town know he was his prized hound. Smithers moaned loudly.
It's kind of hard to moan loudly when you had the bees in the mouths of the dogs.
Buzz, buzz, buzz. As Monty nipped and sucked at his tender skin. Oh, now I want chicken tenders. Leaving hickeys everywhere he could. Be quiet, Waylon. Someone might hear us from outside.
Blah, I am a Dracula.
Monty growled as he bit near his shoulder. Waylon lowered his whines to a breathy moan. Sean, I expect you to write that fanfic now where you see Dracula. As Monty kept teasing his neck, a hand slipped into his pants, groping his ass as Burns caught Smithers' lip in another passionate kiss.
Oh.
They pulled away to quickly undo Waylon's pants and shove them down. Monty grabbed a small bottle of lube from his pocket. See, it's better to do it with bottles than with packets. Spreading some onto his fingers before putting it back. The slim fingers inched ever closer to his already prepared anus. Oh no, watch out, ejacula. When they reached the slick entrance, he yelped. Bleh. Slowly, one finger teased him. Pressing into his ass.
You didn't say the magic word.
You didn't say the...
Please, sir, keep stepping on my balls.
Please, sir, keep stepping on my balls.
Making Waylon's knees weak as a silent beg for more. He let out a low groan.
Mr. Burns, I love it when you step on my cock.
But now we are just sounding like Mr. Plinkett.
I love it when you step on my pizza rolls.
Shove more pizza rolls into my anus, ejacula.
Blah.
Teasing his inner walls. Quiet down, pup. If I have to tell you again, I'll... As if on cue, they both heard the doorknob turn and the door screech open. Val, stop it!
Ka-thunk.
They both froze for a moment, unsure of what to do next. Waylon tried to calm his heavy breathing, taking deep breaths and using the self-control that he used to reserve for work. Thick soles clunked down the hallway, stopping far before the stalls. Monty gave an evil smirk, showing those delicious ejacula fangs again. Before two fingers entered his ass, slowly thrusting in and out as the person did their busyness. Waylon tried his best to keep himself under control as Monty pressed against his prostate. He leaned over him, hot breath tickling his ear. I bet you'd love for that man to discover us like this. Fucking Egypt. Mr. Burns would never say fucking, ever. He's too old to realize that that is a word, let alone a curse word.
He's also too old that if he were to stick his fingers inside Waylon's asshole, they would just break right off.
Oh no, I've tried it with all 10 now. All of my fingers are broken. He has the friggin' wiggly fingers from Yakitate, Japan now.
Oh.
They're all going in the wrong direction. Fucking each other in a bathroom stall. Such
Try that again.
Such a scandalous place to find two respected businessmen. Burns whispered slowly over the rush of water and
lowly.
Soap. Burns whispered lowly over the rush of water and soap. Smithers bit his lip as a third finger entered into him, only to break on impact. The thought alone was tantalizing. All those broken bones.
No.
And maybe if his master allowed it, he could let Waylon be used by this anonymous person. .. The sound of the door slamming shut broke Waylon out of his fantasy. Burns pulled his fingers out shortly after, Waylon Keening from the loss of contact. Monty grabbed some toilet paper and wiped off his slick fingers, tossing the tissue into the toilet before undoing his pants. A proper hygiene, go you. Slowly, tantalizingly, he pulled down his boxer briefs, his dick springing free from the confines of the underwear.
I don't know about springing.
Yeah, more like a slowly oozing out.
You know when they, in the movies, when they open up like a tomb for the mummy and it's just dust that pops up? I imagine it's that.
Beg. One simple word that finally gave Waylon permission to speak. He collapsed onto his knees, pleading for Monty.
Please, Monty, give me your food.
Please, Monty, can you put more broken appendages into my ass? Maybe an arm?
Please, Master. Master, I need your cock. I've been...
Burns does not just Necco Wafer's Fizz. That is ban-worthy.
Oh, now Fizz is going to get banned. Now that he's doing something you don't like.
Yeah. Man, he's just pissing off all the hosts.
Yep. I've been waiting for it all day like a good boy. Good boy.
Good boy.
Please, please, I'll do anything for you. Good boy. Waylon groveled. He even fell to his knees and gripped Monty's hips for added effect. His mouth so close to that delicious cock. What Burns lacked in size, he more than made up for in experience. Burns looked at him with a haughty expression, contemplating if his pet had done enough to warrant the privilege of being fucked. Monty finally replied, "Get up. I want you to turn around and show me how much you want my cock in your ass."
I don't want your cock in my ass, Val. The pegging thing was a bit for the show. Please don't.
But
it's not doctor approved.
Please.
No! Do the ejacula voice and I might reconsider.
Blah, I'm ejacula. Blah.
I'm going to take back your quesadilla if you keep asking me.
Let me peg you into the night.
God damn it. No, stop. I'm already tired. I don't need to be in pain and tired.
I won't stop until your ass is bleeding.
Oh, jeez.
I won't stop until I've broken every bone in my crumbly ejacula body.
He yanked his collar for added effect. Waylon stood up and gripped the railing on the wall, sticking his ass out and shaking it. He turned his head over his shoulders, seeing Monty slowly stroke lube over his dick. Master, please braid me.
Master, please.
Master, braid me. Give me the things that I've been after.
You promised only lies.
Mr. Burns front manning for a local Metallica cover band would be absolutely fucking incredible.
Oh, yeah.
The stand-in for Lars.
Yeah.
Monty smirked, coming close to him and rubbing his cock against his entrance. I'll fuck you till you can stand, pup. Gradually, Burns entered him. It felt so good being filled finally. All that time walking around, leading up to this. How he secretly wished they could have done it outside of this bathroom to make all those petty women and senile idiots faint from the sight. But Waylon was more than happy with this. At least his dignity was semi-intact in the dead wing bathroom. Monty started thrusting, picking up the pace as Smithers got used to it. He felt his collar being tugged again, pulling him back on his master's cock. He eagerly met Burns' trusts, happy to be used like the good puppy was. The good boy! And even better, Monty was praising him, telling Waylon what a good boy!
A good boy!
A good boy he is for following his master's commands. He was panting from the effort, desperate to meet Monty's hips, slamming himself back, feeling his leaking cock bounce around from the force. It was a good thing Burns had got that hip replacement 2 years ago. Huh, he didn't think those brittle bones would have lasted with this force. He was forced back into the present with Monty biting his shoulder again. His thrusts were stronger but more erratic as he neared his climax.
Blah!
Blah! Waylon was close too. All that teasing had really set him on edge. You wanna be a good boy for me?
A good boy.
Monty Huff.
This screenshot from C-Lab is just what I was thinking for Mr. Burns after the finger breaking thing.
Yes. You want to be a good boy for me, Monty Huff? Then you're going to tell the world what you are. Wait, did I skip? No, I didn't. You're Burns, the little cuck-sucking hound.
I haven't heard of that breed.
I'm Burns, little cock-sucking. A sharp tug shut him up. Where's all that energy you had when I was telling you to be quiet? Louder. I want the world, the whole damn mall to hear. I'm Burns, little cock-sucking hound. More. Master, more. Use me any way you want. I'm just a slutty little pup who craves your cock.
Master!
That did it. As soon as he felt that final heart thrust and warm cum pulling inside him, Waylon moaned loudly and came as well. He would have nearly collapsed if he weren't gripping onto the railing, semen splattering across the bathroom tile. He panted heavily, groaning when Monty slid out of him. His hips would have bruises later from where his master gripped him tightly, but that was a problem for future Smithers. Right now, he was focused on keeping himself steady and not falling into the mess below. Onto the mess below. When he had gathered himself up a little more, he shakily rose and turned around, leaning on the railing for support. Jeez. Monty was wiped too, even more so than Waylon. He sat down on the toilet to rest, breathing hard from all the effort. Even though they were intimate regularly, Burns was still old and needed to rest. Are you okay, Monty?
I'm old!
Waylon asked between gasps. He knew he was breaking character, but Burns really was wiped. I'll be fine in a bit, Waylon. Just need to rest up a bit. He leaned over on the toilet, nearly falling until Waylon caught him. I don't want you to walk like this. Give me a moment. Smithers immediately sat up straight, disregarding his previous fatigue. He quickly cleaned his ass up with toilet paper. The rest could be taken care of at home. Helping Burns up, he cleaned his cock off as well and pulled up his pants. They walked out of the bathroom together, Monty's arm wrapped around Waylon's shoulders, and made their way to the dusty bench next to the dead anchor set store.
Oh, they jizzed all over the bench.
Burns sighed with relief as he sat down onto the seat, leaning against Smithers for support.
You did a good job there, pup, and thank you for helping me up. I didn't need it, but it's still appreciated.
Smithers chuckled. A good hound always takes care of his master. What do you want to do after we've rested a bit? Want to do next after we've rested a bit?
I think I shall request we go home for lunch. You always make a fabulous Reuben. And that's what I'm craving.
Yes, master.
I love you.
I love you too.
All right, Logan.
Yes.
There's a thing that we're about to do.
Oh, no.
Can you just give me the benefit of the doubt for once in our friendship? Just once? I'll wait for an answer. I'm going to play this MIDI file.
Oh, dear fucking God.
This is Master of Puppets, sung by Montgomery Burns.
Okay, you want me to just do Master of Puppets? Okay.
Yes. As Montgomery Burns.
Man, you're going to have me sing a fucking 8.5 minute long song. Come on.
And yes, it sounds like total ass.
Oh, dear God.
This makes me want to play Doom now.
There's nothing for the first fucking minute.
No.
Yep, you missed your cue.
My song is slightly not where yours is. This is so stupid.
I know it was. Give me at least the chorus. Give me where it isn't yours. I will have no music and people will use their fucking imaginations.
It's too funny.
Come on. Nothing.
Come crawling faster.
Faster.
Obey your master.
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 Your life burns faster.
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 Obey your master. Master. Master of puppets, I'm pulling your strings.
Now you're just fucking King Candy. You're not even Mr. Burns anymore.
I'm doing it, King Candy.
Master! Master! Just call my name because I hear you scream.
Master! Master!
Logan, I just gave you that setup and it sounds like you're killing it already. All right. The real kings of candy are our patrons, especially our genital guardians.
Such a stupid idea.
Oh, come on. It was funny and it broke you. It's totally worth it.
Doesn't mean it's not stupid.
This is also true. A barred owl in Groucho Marx glasses giving you sexy eyes from across the bar. A Rube Goldberg machine. Let me try this again. A Rube Goldberg machine for pegging yourself with a giant roll of Necco wafers. How to follow that up? Chirpy. Disambiguity. Discuss. Dizdon plays. Epidel. Grass Dragon. No Recount. Me Harder Daddy. Richard Pryor. Santa Grimnar. The Judge, the Jury, and the Exegutter.
Executor.
Exegutter. It's eggs. Two-time world heavyweight champion Matthew J. And our bogey beneficiaries. Advent Dawn, Dump Truck Treg Borschwitz, Evan Baumel, Final Fantasy 13, but Hope is Silver the Hedgehog, Highlander 2, Mrs. Brisby, and Kogel Hot Dogs are S-tier fight me. It just keeps getting longer every time. Miri, Razor, Flood, Terez, and Wage. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to go and concoct somehow from all of the things that Logan said this episode, the William Shatner version of Mr. Burns singing Master of Puppets.
You're not going to fucking do that.
I don't have the effort or the time. Fuck this. Old me? Yeah, sure. Take it as a challenge. New me? Fuck, I really just want to go to bed early.